Hey, do you guys know that the God who created the universe wants to talk with you? And not just once, but every day. Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren continues his life-changing series called Hearing the Voice of God, where he reveals how you can tune into God's voice, build on a real friendship with Him, and discover His direction for your life loud and clear. Okay, let's get started. Here's Rick with part one of a message called Getting God's Vision for My Life.
God did not create you for the American dream. That is not your purpose on life. In fact, I will tell you that as your pastor, I have no interest at all in helping you fulfill the American dream. Because the American dream is about things, the acquisition of things. And the Bible says that is not the purpose of life, just getting more. The purpose of your life is far, far greater than simply grow up, go to school, make money, retire, and die. As I told you many times, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. And I'm not interested in helping you fulfill the American dream because the American dream, frankly, is a dead end. Having it all is not enough. There's more than just the good life, having the goods, looking good, feeling good. In fact, there's a better life. You know, for many years, when I was a kid, as a baby, I've told you this before. When I was a baby, my mother fed me strained spinach. I thought it was really great. I now think feeding your child strained spinach is child abuse. But I thought it was really good until I discovered SpaghettiOs. Now, SpaghettiOs were not the good life. They were the better life. And as a little kid, I thought SpaghettiOs were pretty great until I discovered In-N-Out Burger. And I've always thought, if there is more, wouldn't I want to know about it? Yes. If there's something more than the good life, if you were made for more than the American dream, wouldn't you want to know about it? Oh, yeah. You see, what you need is not the American dream. You need God's dream for your life. Why He made you. And the truth is, you were made for far more than just make money, retire, and die. God has a dream for your life. And when you get God's vision, God's dream for your life, life makes sense. And all of a sudden you go, this is it. There is meaning. There is significance. There is satisfaction. There is purpose. There is value. There's a spring in your step. You have a reason to get up in the morning than just, I've got to go back to work to pay for all the things that I've made. Now, if you want to make major change in your life, you got to do more than just focus on your behavior. If you want a short change in your life, focus on changing your behavior. But if you want to make long-term, permanent change, you got to focus on the way you think. You've got to change your vision. You've got to change your mindset. You've got to change your paradigm. You've got to repent, which means to change your mind. You have to change your relationship to things if you're going to make permanent change. You have to change your relationship to food for it to be long-term change. You have to change your relationship to money if you're going to ever get out of debt. You're going to have to change your relationship to God if you're going to ever spiritually grow. You're going to have to change your relationship to your husband or your wife. It's all in the way you think about it if you want your marriage to be better. You can't just change your behavior. That will last about a month, and then you'll go back to your old ways. What you need is not television. You need God's vision. You say, well, how do I get God's vision for my life? That's what we're going to look at this week. This message today is kind of a transition between hearing God and getting His vision and what it takes to really change, because the starting point for any change is a new vision. Now, how do I know God's vision? How do I get a vision for my life? How do I get God's dream for my life? Well, fortunately, there's an entire book in the Bible about that very question. It's a little tiny book. If you open your Bible to the middle, you come to the book of Psalms. You're in the Old Testament. You go a little bit further over here. You come to a book called Habakkuk. Not tobacco, Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a 3-chapter book, and you better be glad that one's in the Bible because it tells you how to get God's dream for your life. Now, I always like to study some of these little minor prophets in the Bible so that when you get to heaven, you're not going to be embarrassed. Because I guarantee you someday in heaven, Habakkuk's going to come up to you and says, "Hey, how'd you like my book?" And you go, oh, Mr. Habakkuk, I didn't even know you were in the Bible. So I want you to be able to go, oh, hey, you know that stuff you wrote about how to get God's vision? Good stuff, man. Now, the background of this book, Habakkuk, is the country of Israel is in chaos for a number of reasons. Number one, they are in economic recession. Number two, people are out of work and many of them are starving. Number three, they're in constant conflict. And number four, they're being attacked by terrorists. Does this sound vaguely familiar? And in chapter one, Habakkuk asks six very profound questions. They're all the questions you've asked. Why is this happening, Lord? Why is this happening to me, Lord? Are you going to do anything about this, God? How long is this going to take? Why do I have to put up with this? Have you ever asked these questions? Yes, you have. And in Habakkuk chapter 1, he asks these six most common questions. Why is this happening and how long is it going to take? How long and why do I have to put up with this? And then in chapter 2, he stops. He says, okay, I've said my piece. Now I'm going to shut up and I'm going to listen and I'm going to wait for your vision. And in chapter 2 of Habakkuk, God says, okay, if you will do these six things that I tell you to do, I'm going to help you see why what is happening in your life is happening. I'm going to help you get your vision for the future corrected. I'm going to help you get God's dream for your life. Now, are you interested in Habakkuk? Oh, yeah. You're going to be glad you came to church today because we're going to look at how to get God's vision for your life. Now, I want you to think about some area of your life that you need some advice in. Maybe it's your career. What am I supposed to do next? Maybe it's schooling. Maybe it's getting married. Maybe it's kids. I don't know. Maybe it's you're moving toward retirement. Whatever area of stage of life you're in, you need a vision, not television, God's vision for the next stage of your life. In chapter 2, I want to read this passage, and it says this. After Habakkuk had asked these questions, he said, I will climb up into my watchtower. Now, that's a Hebrew expression, means I'm just going to sit down and shut up. I'm going to get quiet. I'm going to have a quiet time. I will climb up into my watchtower, and I will wait to see what the Lord will say to me after I've asked all these questions and how he will answer my question. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer in, you know, write it down, what I tell you, in large, clear letters so that a runner can read it and tell it to everybody else. God says, I'm not only going to give you the vision for your life, Habakkuk, I'm going to give you my dream for the future for all your people. So this is going to be good. Now, God has a dream for your life, and this is what God says to you today. God says, but these things that I plan, this vision, this dream for your life, these things I plan for you won't happen right away. It's not going to be immediate. This vision, he says, slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled in your life. If it seems slow, wait patiently. For it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. The first step is desire. I must want to do God's will. I must desire it. It's a choice. I choose to do God's will. And the first thing Habakkuk does is he says, I will go up into my watchtower. He says, I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to spend some time with God because I've got to know his will for my life. I've got to know his dream for my life. I've got to know God's vision for my life. Now, the point is this. You're not going to hear God unless you really, really, really want it. I'm not talking about, oh, it's an option. I'm not saying, oh, it would be nice. It's got to be a necessity. God doesn't tell his dream for your life if you want to debate it. God doesn't want to tell his vision for your life if you want to discuss it. God doesn't tell you what he put you on earth to do just so you can choose to say, let me think about it. It would be nice to know what God put me here on earth to know. No, it's got to be a necessity. God, I've got to know. I've got to know why I'm here on earth. I've got to know what you want me to do in the next step of my life. I've got to know. I've got to hear your voice. I've got to have your vision. Now, the classic example of this is King David, who wrote the book of Psalms. Here's a couple of them. They're on your outline. He says, my God, I want to do what you want. And he says, I don't want to just know it. I want to do it. And in the next verse, he says, what I want most of all and at all times is to honor your ways. Notice David is passionate. He says, what I want most of all. This is not just a little option. I've got to know your wisdom. I've got to know your vision. I've got to know your goal for my life. And when you read the book of Psalms, David used very passionate words. He says, I long for it. I crave it. I hunger it. I thirst after it. I'm like a deer panting for water. God, I've got to know what I'm here for. I've got to know your dream. You got to know your vision. It's not optional. You got to tell me or I'm going to die. And when you get that desperate, you're going to hear from God. You see, most people talk to God, but they never hear from God. And for them, prayer is a monologue. You can't have a relationship with a monologue. How about if I married my wife and I only talked to her and she never talked to me? Well, that's not a relationship. You've got to have a conversation. And you, just as much as important as you talking to God in prayer is you listening to God and letting God talk to you. And how does that happen? First, I've got to want it more than anything else. This is the first step. Deuteronomy chapter 4 on your outline says there, if you search for God with all your heart and all your soul, in other words, passionately, you will find him. Guaranteed, you will find him. Step 2. After the want, the desire, I want it with all my heart, step 2 is withdraw. And withdraw means I got to get alone with God. God isn't going to speak to you if there's a bunch of noise going on in your life. You've got to get alone and you've got to get quiet. And we call this a quiet time. And what I'm going to teach you on how to do this, how to hear God today, is not something you're going to do once in your life and that's it. You're going to do it every day of your life for the rest of your life, because this is where you get the power. If you're not having a daily time to hear God, you're the toaster that's not plugged in. You're the vacuum cleaner that's not plugged in. You're the blender that's not plugged in. You have no power in your life. And that's why you're tired at the end of every day, because you're going on your own energy. You weren't plugged into the power, and you can't hear God and feel his vision in your life. You've got to withdraw and get alone with God. Now, getting alone in a quiet place is pretty difficult today. I don't know if you realize how much noise there is in your life. You go to a doctor's office, you go into a grocery store, you go on an airplane, shoot, you go on an elevator, they've got music. There's very little time in your life that's absolutely quiet. You're hearing traffic, you're hearing things, and so you have to carve out solitude by yourself. Now, if you've got kids at home, that could be difficult. You may have to lock yourself in the bathroom. You may have to go into the garage. You may have to go out into the front yard, sit in the car. When my kids were growing up, I actually made a little prayer garden down on my slope where I'd go down and I'd sit down there under a tree. And even today, I have a chair out under an oak tree on my slope in the backyard that I climb over the fence and I sit on my slope. And where I do that, it's my time where nobody's around and I can talk to God out loud and nobody's going to hear me. Now, if you've got preschoolers, you really have a problem. But let me give you some hope. Susanna Wesley, one of the great women of history, had two sons, one named John Wesley and one named Charles, who changed culture and changed history. Not just Christian history, but all Western culture. John Wesley founded the Methodist Church, spread Christianity across the western part of America through the Methodist revival preachers. His brother Charles wrote over 6,000 hymns. Susanna Wesley had 18 children. How do you find time alone when you have 18 children? Well, I read her biography, and one of the things she did is every afternoon, she would go and she would sit in her favorite rocker, and she would take her apron and throw it over her head. And for the next hour, mom with the apron over her head means no child bothers mom or you die. And Wesley said that it was the prayers of his mom that shaped his life. You can find time alone if you are that desperate, if you'll make time alone. So you remove all the distractions. You take the phone off the hook when you're having a quiet time. You don't answer your email. You don't answer the cell phone. Jesus gives some very specific advice. Luke chapter 5, it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now circle the word often. That means he made it a habit. This needs to be a habit of your life every day. He would withdraw to a lonely place. You may go to a park. You may sit in your favorite chair. Doesn't matter. Jesus says it like this in Matthew 6. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. I love this in the Message paraphrase. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can, as you can manage, and the focus will shift in this quiet time. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his presence. Now, let me tell you, the key to getting in touch with God and to hearing God speak and hearing his vision for your life and his dream is this. Write this down. God wants to meet with me. You need to realize you're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. God made you to have a relationship with him. He knows everything about you and he loves you. He wants you to know about him and love him. And he wants you to spend time with him on a daily basis. He wants you to schedule a date with him, to be with him every day. God is waiting. In fact, here's what God says in the book of Jeremiah up here on the screen. Call to me. In other words, get with me, call to me, talk to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you wonderful and marvelous things that you know nothing about. You know what that is? It's your future. You don't know zip about your future. No palm reader can tell you. No tea reader can tell you. No astrologist can tell you. No stockbroker can tell you. The truth is, nobody knows the future except God. And he says, you talk to me, I'll talk to you, and I'll give you a dream, and I'll tell you where I'm taking you. And we'll get you along, and you'll learn things you don't know any other way. God is far more willing to talk to you than you're willing to talk to him. And the truth is, he cares about every single detail of your life. Jesus said this, don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about what you'll drink. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. Did you know that God is concerned about every area of your life, every detail? If you're concerned about it, he's concerned about it. You know what that means? It means you ought to talk to him about everything. If your face breaks out, if you're concerned about it, God's concerned about it. If your stomach's upset, if you're concerned about it, God's concerned about it. The Bible says God knows every hair on your head. He's got them numbered. You don't even know that. He knows how many fell out in your brush this morning. God knows more about you than you do, and he's interested because he's a loving, perfect father, and he's interested in everything. You can talk to him about everything in your life. He cares about all the details, all the decisions, all the delights, and all the disasters.
Hey, have you ever wished that you could hear from God? I mean, really hear his voice when you're facing a big decision, struggling with pain, or just feeling lost? Well, here's the amazing truth. The creator of the universe wants to be your friend. And that's not just in theory, but in a real daily relationship. And how does that friendship grow? Through conversation. The good news is God is already speaking. The question is, are you tuned in? In this powerful new Bible study from Pastor Rick's Hearing the Voice of God series, you'll discover how to recognize when God's speaking, how to hear him with greater clarity, and how to turn your prayers from a monologue into a life-changing dialogue. This four-week study is full of practical teaching, guided prayers, thought-provoking questions, and simple tools to help you connect with God in a deeper, more personal way. Plus, it's perfect for individual or small group study. So don't miss out on what God wants to say to you. Request your copy of Hearing the Voice of God today. It's our gift to you when you support Daily Hope and help share the gospel with people all around the world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. And again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Please join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.